Welcome to Over Underrated. You're with Fran today, and we are discussing cover songs. What is your favourite cover song? But whilst you're pondering over that question, feel free to listen to our 90-minute episode where we look at our overrated and underrated cover songs. We spend time working out what does a cover song mean, what does an overrated cover song mean, and we discuss each song accordingly and have a lovely conversation about music. So please listen to this podcast, and I shall see you at the end.
Welcome to the Over Underrated podcast with Fran and Babs. Is it over or underrated?
Welcome to another episode of Over Underrated. I am Babs, and I'm here with my co-host Fran, and we're both in differing levels of pain. How are you today, Fran?
Yeah, this is perfect for podcasting. I believe Off Menu, Mark Maron, they always at least try and be in pain. A bit like, I think, Tony Blair. He's always wanting it to have a piss because it made him a better...
Yeah, David Cameron as well. I heard about this. Yeah.
So we're doing the same thing by having severe back pain or tiredness to give us that extra edge we need for this podcast. So
this is how much we're committed to the podcast, where I have lower back pain, Fran has upper back pain, and yet, guys, we're still here, still podcasting, sitting in our chairs in agony, but hoping to have a good time nonetheless.
And I'm even drinking straight water. So, you know, I haven't even got an alcohol drink or... A cherry Pepsi Max, unbelievable.
Can I shock you, Fran?
Go on,
I'm not drinking a thing.
Goodness
because I've
me.
Been so busy, I didn't even have the time to grab something.
Daytime podcasting. I was working in my office, guys, 10 minutes ago, and now look at me.
True. I was, and you can literally look this up, maybe they say this, I was waiting for a bus and had to tweet at the Brussels bus company being like, is the bus coming? That is what I was doing.
And this is why you guys subscribe to this podcast, for these day-to-day extremely exciting stories between Babs
extremely
and
exciting.
Fran. We should post them more on social media. But hey, anyway, back to music podcasting. What have you been listening to, Babs?
I have been listening to... two albums that I've very much anticipated this year. I've been listening to Pip Blom's Bobby, which I think is their best record since their 2018 EP Paycheck. Really recommend checking it out. And I've been listening to Wargasm's new album Venom, which is really fun as well. Have you dipped into either of those yet?
I know Wargasm recently played for Joiners, and I was going to check them out, but I literally know one song, but I've seen them live and look like a lot of fun. Is there like a lot of like fake blood happening in there? Performances.
No, but I saw like a clip of them performing a song live where it just looked really, really intense. It was a very small concert, you know, one of those concerts where like the stage basically holds the three people on the band, because I think they had a drummer, and then everyone else was around them going absolutely mental. So yeah, I think they passed by Belgium supporting somebody. They supported Limp Bizkit on tour, and one of the songs on their album is featuring Fred Durst.
Oh, wow.
Bang Your Head, with one of the most fun, simple but fun music videos. I really recommend checking
them
out.
Are they from the UK? Or I thought they
Yes, she's from Northern Ireland. I don't know where he is from.
Okay.
But yeah. How about you? What have you been listening to?
I actually, guys, that's been quite an exciting time for music in October.
Yeah, I agree.
We've had Bombay Bicycle Club have brought out a very good album featuring lots of different people, including Damon Albarn and Shaka Khan. No one expected that mashup or duet even. We have had music from Sundara Karma, who I'm seeing in December. We've had a Halloween EP from Spectre and a Halloween album from Duran Duran. So Halloween themed music's now a thing, guys. So yeah, I've been enjoying some lovely new music. There's a new song from Ray Bastille and Hans Zimmer featured for the soundtrack to Planet Earth 3, which is kind of beautiful. So yeah, I've been busy with my ears.
Glad to hear that. I might actually have the chance to catch Ray in Luxembourg live on the 20th of November, so I'll have to report back if I can do that. It is contingent on a few things. I did try and convince my dad, our previous guest, Paolo Mendes George, to come with me. And I showed him the video. He was like, yeah, this is good, but I can't really be bothered to go for a concert. So
yeah, only if once, guys.
We're here today for a special episode brought out of a conversation that Fran and I had about cover versions, because I think I've mentioned before I have a playlist called Cool Covers and another one called Righteous Remixes that I, you know, every time I see a cover or a remix that I think is interesting, I add to it. And Fran and I had a conversation about some of the ones we liked, and we decided to do a special episode just dedicated to covers.
Yeah, it's an impossible mission to decide your favorite covers.
After and there's some controversy coming up, guys. We almost got into a Facebook fight. Like, you stay tuned.
And after a while, you just have to go, okay, this will be fine. So don't have a go at us by if we've missed out your favorite cover song. I'm sure you will.
The idea of having fans were like, how fucking dare you?
How very dare you
not talk about Jimi Hendrix?
we haven't got Jimi Hendrix or Jeff Buckley on this podcast, sorry.
No versions of Hallelujah are coming up, but there are definitely some better known and lesser known covers, because broadly what we've done, brackets, correct me, Fran, is we've picked five covers that might be considered overrated. I've gone for five covers that I heard before the original and might have even thought were the original song, and then five underrated, some of my favorite covers. Did you take the same approach, Fran, or was it a little bit different?
So I guess my overrated ones is when I think people believe that is the original version, maybe, or has become more popular than the original version.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfairly. And my underrated are just cover songs that I never hear or people never mention. So there you go. That's my criteria.
I found it really difficult to narrow down on both sides, actually, because, again, knowing your music taste, I wanted to bring things that I knew you'd have like an opinion on, or I don't know what your opinion is and I want to hear it. But we've done our best, guys. That's all we can say.
Overrated.
So I will start with Feeling Good by Muse. Of course, I had to use an opportunity to mention Muse. And if you want to check us talking more about Muse in great depth, please check out the Unsung Podcast episode parts 1 and 2. I thought the original was written by Nina Simone, but it turns out it wasn't. It was written by Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus, English composers, for a musical called The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, which really made me laugh because I was like, if someone was trying to come up with a parody name for a musical in the 60s, that I'm sure would come up in some kind of generator.
Can you discover it? Or was it just a...
Yes, you can discover it. So on YouTube, it's quite weird though what you can find. So on YouTube, there's a version by a French junior orchestra, L'Orchestre Junior des Enfants de Lausanne, which is really great. The beginning especially sounds very, very different. It's much more brass oriented and sludgy. But I'm obviously a big Muse fan, if you know me, and I heard this far, far before the Nina Simone version. I think I first heard the Nina Simone version on an advert. I knew that it existed, but given this was pre, easy internet access, YouTube, I didn't check it out. And I think the Nina Simone version is decent, but I do think the Muse version is better. I think it has all the Muse hallmarks of loud, quiet. The bass is really prominent and Matt shows off his incredible vocal range. And the way that he enunciates, like, blossom in the trees. I don't know. I really like his emotional vocals. I would say that maybe I like the sleazy brass on the Nina Simone version. And I do believe her more because she builds to it more when she says, freedom is mine. And I like her scatting. But for me, the cover is superior. I think it is better known. And I'd really recommend that if you like this Muse cover, to check out a few of their others, including Please, 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 Let Me Get What I Want and Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
I think for a lot of people in the UK, this may have been the first Muse song they heard, because I think it was used for like so many advertising campaigns for Lynx or washing up liquid or teeth or something. Anything about that you can feel good after seemed to have this at one point. I don't like how it begins, but I am not a fan of people using megaphones. And I hate the section when he brings out the fucking megaphone. I mean, look, Bon Jovi had a vocoder. Stick to that, guys. Megaphones, fuck off. So, that ruins it for me. But
one of these days, we're going to have to make a list of your
megaphones.
Quirks. Megaphone, saxophone, Hush Geordie in the pros.
Has it gone away now? I've not seen anyone use the megaphone for a while. In the 90s, it was quite popular for maybe ska bands, just a bit of megaphone action.
So when I saw Young Fathers, the Best Kept Secret, it was kind of a megaphone or a phone that they had attached to like this large I don't know, phone box or something like that. That's the only instance I can remember recently.
But did it work? Because this is a bit, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it works here as well, so yeah.
Yeah, I get the idea. It's not, no, obviously they're wanting to change things up a little bit. But I think that I've not heard live, obviously live, he hasn't got a megaphone, so it's probably better live, maybe.
But sometimes you can use that thing as an effect that you put on top of the microphone.
True. I mean, yeah. I probably actually have heard it. I've seen you.
I was going to say, like, I probably times, have. I've seen you 4 or 5 times, so me too, but a long time ago. So do you prefer the Nina Simone?
Yeah, I think I prefer Nina Simone. Yeah, for me, I was going to say traditionalist. Obviously, I didn't know that that was a cover. But I had heard, I think, Nina Simone a lot more before I heard this as well.
Interesting.
Which I think does make a big difference to covers, because you're always going to be attached to the first listen, aren't you? The first one.
Yeah, I agree. I think what's going to be coming up a lot, at least on the notes that I've taken, are, do I like or dislike this more or less because I've heard the original first or not? I really recommend, I'd be curious to hear, given that you know the Nina Simone version so well, to check out that French kids orchestra version. It's quite interesting.
So this is overrated, but I think most people have forgotten about it existing. Do you remember X Factor 2010?
See, I don't at all. So you have to please guide me and the listeners who don't know about it.
Yeah, this would have been the year before One Direction, basically. So a lovely Geordie, Jerry McElderry, I think his mentor was, I think, Cheryl Cole back in the day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he won X Factor, and he famously came second for the Christmas number one to Rage Against the Machine. He was the unfortunate one for that campaign to happen to him.
Yeah.
So usually X Factor would, the winner would then automatically become the Christmas number one until someone decided to make a stop for it, and they had a Facebook campaign which made Rage Against the Machine number one. And his actual first release, which wasn't like a cover. Although this is a cover, but this is it. This is the reason why it's overrated. Do you remember Torn came out with Nothing Brugler? And then we found that later on that it was a hit in Norway.
Yeah.
Same thing here.
Yeah.
So I am a half fan, some more harsh than later on. I saw them being supported by a band called Donkey Boy. Yes, it's a fucking terrible name. But they had a fucking wicked track called Ambition. And I would play it again and again and again. So when Joe McElderry suddenly came out of his first brand new song, no one fucking mentioned it was a cover by a Norwegian band. It was like, yeah, this is Joe McElderry's song and it's Ambitions. It's like, no, you fucking bastards. So this is why, for me, it's overrated, because this obviously was like a top 5 hit in the UK and no one knows about the original, which is a far better track, which has like a male female vocals. It's got a beautiful, like, I guess, new wave, like guitar and bass line and throbs. And this is like, you know, typical X Factor, washing waves of synths and, you know, all the edges killed away. And I feel sorry for Joey McCarty, because I can't remember another song after this. I think his career's completely gone downhill. I don't know if he maybe does Panto these days. So for me, yeah. Joe McElderry, Ambition is overrated. So what are your thoughts on this, perhaps?
So I also didn't know the original. I'd never even heard of the band Donkey Boy. So the way that I listened was, I first listened to your cover, then I listened to the original, and then I listened to the cover again. And I'm glad I did it that way, because it sometimes changed my mind listening to the cover a second time after listening to the original. But here, for me, it's very obvious that the Donkey Boy version is much, much better. There's a cleaner production. There's a better bass line. I really like the synth line at the end. It's not totally for me, I would say. I have written it, it's kind of Killers style pop rock. And I saw that on Tidal, when you went down to related artists, Briskaby, I mentioned, you know, another Norwegian band. And I know that Matt from Pick a Disc picked them as one of his top noughties albums. I also don't know much about them. But yeah, with Joe McElderry's version, I mean, I was surprised by the falsetto, given that we've just recorded with Bob Stanley. I was like, oh, is he trying to be the Lou Christie of the of the 2010s? I can see the appeal, but it's not my cup of tea. I got like Eurovision reject vibes, you know, like a song that could be for Eurovision. But I will say, it doesn't sound like it's from 2010. Like, if you told me this was a song that came out this year, I would believe it. So on that, like, it does, I thought it does sound more modern than it actually is. But yeah, given that I wasn't the world's biggest fan of the original, I did think the cover did it down as well, and was, yeah, as you say, far more successful and well-known.
It's also like one of the strange things, and I think the song, only came out a year before in Norway already. So it's just...
Well, some of these, they come out the same year, which I'm like, bloody hell.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah. So yeah, so moving on to your underrated pick.
Underrated.
Right, so my first underrated is a Love Song by Snake River Conspiracy, the original being by The Cure. So I think I discovered the song on Bolt's Radio, which, let's bring him up again, Matt from Picadisc discussed that with him on the Autolex episode that I guested on. It was this online French radio station, I think based in Paris, that would just play random music that I picked up. And yeah, I loved, absolutely adored this song. I think the female lead singer has an amazing voice and range. It's very sultry, but there's all these kind of like dirty, dirty synths and percussion and a good bass line. And I've written down a synth gong. I don't know if you agree with me there, but there's a kind of sound that I could only describe as that. And Led Zeppelin-y kind of also normal drums. The way this song builds towards the end, incredible. I had absolutely zero idea that this was a Cure song. So this was one of the situations where possibly when my mum got The Cure's Greatest Hit, I started listening to this and I was like, these lyrics are very, very familiar, but in a totally different way. And I think The Cure song is really fucking boring in comparison to this. Like, I think it's saccharine. Like, it could be worse, but it's just really not for me. And it's one of the, there are some originals that I haven't even bothered to listen to the preparation. And I was like, I don't need to. I know what that song is. Whereas the version by Snake River Conspiracy, oh, like fantastic, never boring. And the whole album, it's from Sonic Jihad, is really, really good. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Snake River Conspiracy? A weird name.
I mean, I totally agree that Love Song by The Cure is not, it's quite a duff single. I don't get why. It gets a love glossy. Adele's covered it recently as well.
Has she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, some people seem to obviously love it to be able to cover it. But yeah, this is much better than the original. Although it's got that late 90s sound.
Industrial.
I guess it's like Nine Inch Nails, Garbage, the Wobbly Hoover Simpson lines, the static sort of like distortion production. But yeah, give me this over the original any day. Yeah, and it's got a great climax to this. And I think Adele needed to have a big climax to her track. But unfortunately, Snake River Conspiracy win.
Just to say, the climax at the end is her screaming, I will take you, I will fuck you, which does not come up in the original. Would have loved to have seen Adele do that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, who knows? I've not seen Adele live. It seemed like mixed up a little bit.
Why not? She did a very good cover of Many Shades of Black by the Raconteurs. So, there we go.
I've only heard the Bob Dylan cover made her famous.
Oh, I didn't know. God, so too many covers, too many things to check out. Oh, my God. Right, so what's your first underrated pick, Fran?
All right, underrated pick is a band called Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah.
Who incidentally have released like a Halloween album. It's basically a covers album. And they cover Billie Eilish and the Rolling Stones.
I'm talking Heads.
Bands we've mentioned before on here. So this is 1995. Close your eyes. Picture Duran Duran singing Ordinary World. It's a comeback song. The band are back. Yay, we all love Duran Duran Duran. So how are they going to follow? I just said Duran Duran Duran. So how are they going to follow the running album? Let's do a covers album and let's cover 911 is a Joke by Public Enemy, and obviously Simon Le Bon is a middle-class white guy. All the critics fucking declared it as one of the worst albums ever made,
right?
And every single song, including this, including Perfect Day, was the single they fucking hated on. So it gets like one star album reviews, and I think it's so fucking unfair. Yeah, they covered fucking Public Enemy, but on there is also five or six, I think, really decent covers. I mean, as a single, we did White Lines. Flash was a decent track.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the second single was Perfect Day, and we're talking 1995, pre-Trainspotting. So when everyone saw Trainspotting, I guess in the UK, everyone's like, oh yeah, we really love Perfect Day. What's the song Perfect Day by Lou Reed? And I was there as a Duran Duran fan going, but didn't Duran Duran release this last year? You remember? It's like a top 30 hit. No? Anyone? And
top 30.
And I...
Come on, guys. Look at the charts.
And I remember Lou Reed came out to say that he prefers Duran Duran's version to his own one.
Oh, wow.
He said he would have loved to record it like Duran Duran did. And like, so Duran, and this, speaking of hushed vocals, this is Simon Le Bon that is most hushed, if that's a phrase. Unfortunately, he doesn't do a Geordie accent in it. But it's like a tranquil musicality. Also, Roger Taylor came back for this song.
Mm-hmm.
And he then vanished away for another 6 years playing drums. But yeah, it's got a beautiful melody. I think he does a fantastic verse in Mr. Bond. So then, yeah, so I was just like a bit sad for it. Like when post Trainspotting and Perfect Day became like a big track again, and the was it Children in Need or Comic Relief did it? Children in Need, those are like famous recording artists, did a Band-Aid version where they all took a line each and everyone went crazy for it. And I was like, yeah, they even chose on Simon Le Bon. What about Duran Duran? Completely forgotten about. So I feel a bit slow from him. Obviously, they did it before everyone else. And yeah, you never hear Perfect Day by Duran Duran played on any airways, unfortunately. So you said you hadn't heard this
version. I hadn't heard this version. And the first version of the song I heard was the Children in Need version. So not even the Darut. And I think that colours my opinion of it because, as I said to you, I messaged Fran last night saying, oh, I've just gone to listen to the Perfect Day Children in Need version for the first time in years and it may be quite emotional. And Fran was like, what? Because it's so shit. No.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Because it was so great. Like, but
and people and all sorts of
But her voice is amazing in it. And it's funny that you say that Lou Reed said that Duran Duran was his favourite version because he also said that the Children in Need version is the best version of his song. Which is surprising because he's famously grumpy. And yeah, it was years and years before I listened to the original. And the problem is, when I listen to, whether it's the original or the Duran Duran version, all I can hear is Bono and David Bowie and Heather Small from M People.
I can't remember. I remember, like, I looked for streaming just to check and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I didn't include it. But I can't even remember the lineup.
It's not really on streaming, I think, because of the clearance that would be needed for all the different vocals. But if you go on Wikipedia, they list in order who the people are. But yeah, it's some funny choices. So you've got Sky from Morcheeba there. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And you have some kind of blues singers that I've never heard of before or since. And yeah, only yesterday did I realise that the guy with the long hair going like this is Evan Dando from the Lemonheads. Yeah. I had no idea.
That's a strange choice because like strange choice. We haven't had a hit for like 10 years. So.
Having listened to the Duran Duran version before listening to the Children in Need version, I didn't feel like it added very much. I'm very sorry, Fran. I think there's some nice synth accordions. Again, I'm making up instruments. And I really like the harmonies that's added, which is what you get in the Children in Need version as well. That really elevates the song towards the end. Reach just what you so yeah, that's really, really nice. And then
reach,
you know,
but yeah, the reach
obviously that
reach
comes in much harder in the Children in Need version because you have that choir and Heather Small doing reach. But yeah, I with this one I just couldn't disentangle it from the Children in Need version that I knew. I'm very sorry.
Children Need One, Duran Duran Zero. Who'd have thought?
Overrated.
So what's your next overrated track?
So my next overrated question mark track is Tainted Love by Soft Cell. So the original was recorded by Gloria Jones, which I knew, but what I didn't realize is that she re-recorded it in 1976 because it started gaining traction in Northern Soul clubs. It was produced by her then boyfriend Mark Bolan. So it really surprised me that kind of the song was already a cover by the same person, but it just wasn't very successful in 1976. But Soft Cell recorded it in 1981. And I think, to be honest, obviously, I think most people think Soft Cell is the original. This, for me, is a perfect cover. I think the fact that it slows it down when it is a kind of woe is me love song, the hand claps and the synth bleeps to kind of make the beeps. Who knows? I think you know what I'm trying to say. And yeah, it's one of the, it's like the, I would categorize it as the one song I am never sad to dance to at a wedding because it very often comes up and I'm like, yeah, it's brilliant. I know all the lyrics. I think it's one of Soft Cell's highlights. I don't know too much of their discography beyond Nonstop Erotic Cabaret, but it is, I think it's a really, really great song. And yeah, it was interesting to read about how they used to play it live. Then they signed with Phonogram Records and they were like, you must record this as a single. And that, you know, they were saying that, yeah, it was the novelty factor of a synth band, you know, still very new. This is early 80s, singing a Northern Soul song. It was really gaining traction. So yeah, I imagine this is a song you like, Fran, or do you think it's overplayed?
No, I still like this. And it's interesting, isn't it, how you can just do some simple changes and it becomes your own. Like, so the hand claps is what everyone knows, like the everyone loves. And if you're at a wedding, everyone wants to do the hand claps in between. And so when you listen to the original, that's the first thing you notice is missing. Mm-hmm. Although the original is a foot stomping quality track. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that it was flopped twice, to be fair, but like, yeah, you know, it's how it's promoted.
And yeah, I guess I didn't say this, but I only heard the original, I think, for the first time in a bar in Brussels around 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's bad. I think her voice is really great. And she, you know, vocalizes again, as does, you know, Nina Simone in Feeling Good. But just like you say, Soft Cell make it their own.
Simple Minds, like their biggest hit is the only track they never wrote, which is Don't You Forget About Me.
I did not know.
The one thing that Jim Kerr added to it was the Hey Hey's and the La La La's. So that those little bits just make it their own song, you know. And that's what, you know, Mark Almond, Dave Ball, I think it's Dave Ball. I can't remember.
Dave.
This goes from Northern Soul to like a dark bedsit sex confession. Yeah, I just love how his performance of it. Watching him on Top of the Pops, or they are now, I like one, but watching. I swear this got re-released in the 90s for an advert. And they had like a blue naked ghost dancing in a bedroom.
That's the version I saw. I need to look it up.
That's why I know. Cause I think it got is a use again for an advert. So yeah, I also think of that video. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, if you're gonna do a cover, make it your own. I think it does help if it's a different, you know, sex. I think that's one way of doing a good cover.
Good point to mention. So I realized that of my 10 picks, 9 of them have the gender swapped. So if a man was originally singing, it's now a woman and vice versa, which is really, and one is questionably a robot. So it could also be, you know, transhuman substitution.
Non-binary.
But transhuman, like I learned about this in psychology, it's like outside of human. It's not even like non-binary. It's like out of this world. But yeah, we will get to that.
If you have sex with robots, are you pansexual?
Oh, this is like the evolution of the Richard Herring question. If you have sex with robots, are you cheating on someone? That's a really good question.
I thought pansexual meant like you just...
Any gender. Anything. Yeah, any gender.
Let's go for it.
Are we clean up? Yeah, I agree. Just go for it. The alternative,
but
Nike.
With permission first, guys.
With permission first, with consent. Consent is important. Yes. And Fran, may I ask you for your next overrated pick?
I'm asking for consent.
Yeah, I'm asking for your consent.
So my next overrated cover is Gary Jules covering Tears for Fears, Mad World from 2003. Why do you know the song? Because of Donnie Darko, guys. You remember... Film book made Jake Gyllenhaal a breakout star and had that amazing soundtrack of other 80s songs like Echo and Bunnymen and Tears for Fears. And then for some reason, someone seemed to want this to be a Christmas release. So off it popped into Radio 1, and up against it was the Mighty Darkness riding high on their debut album with their Christmas Time Let the Bells Ring. Who was going to win? Was it the Soppy Ballad or the Fun Time Darkness? It was the Soppy Ballad. I was working in Virgin Megastore my first time. I was judging people, bringing up Gary Jules each time, going, what is wrong with you? So yeah, this works fine in the film. It's become a bit of a cliche now. I think John Lewis adverts, if you're not from the UK, they basically get a pop song, slow it down, and have someone singing prettily over it. And that seems to be what this is. It's like, oh, it's an 80s pop song. Let's make it tender and have some beautiful singing to it. But it's now come a cliche. And the worst thing about this, not only did it come Christmas number one, Tears of Fears, when they now do Mad World, do this fucking verse.
No!
And it's like the original, like, twist electro pop version's completely gone. So thank you, Gary Jules. Not only did you get to Chris number one, you've ruined one of my favourite band songs. So, yeah, overrated for me.
Oh, I was nodding with you every step of the way. It's Gary Jules and Michael Andrews as well, by the way. I think people forget him. Yes. So let's call him out as well.
Sorry, Michael.
So literally, I started playing this version and that piano came in and I was like, no. I'm out. Like this just, yeah, it's exactly what you say of like a cover that is a slowed down version of a poppier, synthier, rockier song can be good, but it's such an easy cliche-y thing to do. And the piano is so cynical. I think his voice is so annoying, though. I think from memory, again, because I refused to listen to this before coming, there is an effect on the voice in the cover where it goes Mad World and there's auto-tune or something. That's nice. That's the one good thing I can say about it. But I'm a huge, huge fan of the original. The Tears Roll Down Greatest Hits for Tears of Fears is probably the most important cassette tape within my family, because, as mentioned before, our music taste overlap wasn't very good. And I remember as a kid listening to Shout, Head Over Heels, Mad World, Pale Shetter, going rewind, and again, here we go. So when I realized that this song became so big and realized that people thought this was the original, it really pissed me off, because that's it. You know, there are obviously worse songs than this, but the original is so amazing. Like, there's so many different instruments that the weird kind of glockenspiels that they create, the do-do-do-do-do, Kurt's kind of slightly pathetic voice saying, "The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had." I love it so much. And the fact as well that it leads into Pale Shelter, both kind of, on the greatest hits and in the original album, The Hurting, like, every single bit of that is taken out for some fucking piano and some fucking lame singing. I agree.
I know. And also, it's Christmas time. Come on.
Come on, guys.
Have a bit of fun. So, for me, overrated. And God knows how many copies it sold. Too many.
Underrated.
What's your next track?
My next underrated track is Wicked Game by Amika, the original obviously being Chris Isaak. So Amika, by the way, is an English electronic musician, but she's of Czech origin. And I just think this is one of the best covers of all time. She creates this really ethereal atmosphere. The song is much more electronic and piano-led rather than with guitars. And she takes two main elements, which is the line at the beginning, "The world was on fire, no one could save me." And she just repeats it over and over again over this, these kind of lush synths. And I find it a very addictive song. It's one of those that I very rarely listen to just once, and because I've been preparing for this, I've been listening to it over and over again. I will say that I do like the Chris Isaak version, and I was reading about how it became a big hit after being in Wild at Heart, which I didn't know and I've still not seen. And people think it's about unrequited love, but he said it was inspired by a telephone call from a woman seeking to arrange a hookup, and it's about what happens when you have a strong attraction to people that aren't necessarily good for you. Okay. I think Chris Isaak has an incredible voice, and that vibrato sleazy guitar hook is great. But if forced, I would still pick the cover version over the original. And I think there's other versions of Wicked Game. There's one by him that I listened to, which was really good. But I have no idea how I stumbled across this, but she's definitely an underrated artist. And that album, Dver, I don't know how you pronounce it, is worth checking out. What did you think?
Yeah, it's definitely another song which is covered a lot. Yeah, it's hard for me to get away from the original, because obviously, it had such an amazing video, and, he had his Elvis Criff and his wobbly voice. Yeah, I hadn't heard this version. I see her name around. I don't think I've heard anything by her. But I think it may be too treated her vocally. It's got a little, maybe too much production. So I think also his is very much a grounded, organic version. This is maybe, I do agree that if you are going to cover it, then fuck about a bit, enjoy yourself. If you're going to do a cover, don't make it completely different, because then, like, if you can't hear the original song at all, then why even do it?
We will come to that.
Well, but if you are going to do it, don't do it exactly the same. Either make it completely different your own, or maybe do it so that it can't be compared to the original, because you're a guy and that's a girl. That's what I would reckon with especially today. I think Tears of Fears covered "My Mother Said She Get Things Done." Ashes, there you go. And it literally sounds exactly the same. It even puts on the Bowie voice. It's like, well, just listen to Bowie then. What's the point of doing a cover? So I do enjoy this being different, but I find it hard to not. I wouldn't say this is better than the original, unfortunately.
Yeah, with this one, again, knowing your music taste, I was like, it might be a bit too repetitive for Fran as well, because sometimes I feel like I very much enjoy repetition, and you have to enjoy repetition to enjoy the song for sure. But I think, it's not just the music and the version that she's created, it's the atmosphere. Because especially if you listen to them back to back, it's such a different atmosphere, and there is still that kind of longing. I was just really impressed with how one can use synths for good.
This is a band who have also covered Soft Cell recently. I say recently in the last 20 years, say they this is Aha, who have covered Say Hello, Wave Goodbye, which is my favourite Soft Cell song. And we have a song from 1990, and they have covered the Everly Brothers. This is why I can't say my speech impediment. Crying in the Rain. I apologise to anyone
who's heard. That was good.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, speech language teacher from 1985. So yeah, so this was, I guess, the revamped Aha. They wanted to sort of walk away from the 80s synth pop slash boy band looks. So in 1990, new decade, outcomes like, you know, the denim jeans, the longer hair, the plaid shirts. And yeah, the actual album it came from, is, I think it's called West of the Moon, East of the Sun. And it's a completely different band, like, rather than having a synth keyboard, he plays like an organ, most is more organic sounding. Paul Savoy has like an Edge style guitar, which he uses in this track, like the style sort of guitar. I will tell you a story, guys.
Tell us a story, please.
You can forward this section. So 1996 is when I got into Aha, because of VH1, I reckon. And I would like, because obviously I was a 16-year-old, I couldn't buy all the albums at one go. So every like 2 or 3 months, I would like find an album, and then I'd buy it and be all excited. And in the summer of 1996, I fancied a girl called Mandy, and I went to the beach with her and a friend, and I bought this album from our price. And on the bus, we listened to it on my sailing walk with an ear each, and this song came on, and we both loved the song so much. And then I had a Cherry Coke in the bag, and it's built on the inlay. So every time I open the inlay, I will see the stain of Cherry Coke across the inlay, and I'll think of that moment, and I'll think of a song. So although to many people this may sound like a winter sort of song, to me it's summer 1996. I have heard the original with the Everly Brothers, and to me it's a bit too basic and a bit too smaltzy. I think this is a mature version. Production-wise, it's fantastic. And I have a audio kink for rain in songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking love the sound of rain and thunder. Yeah, so this starts off with rain and thunder, and then Morton singing. Oh yes. So yeah, it's Cherry Cola, it's British summertime, it's a brilliant Norwegian band. This was, I think, 13 in UK, so this is the band fading away. I think it was maybe like a hit in some countries, but yeah, this was a band who are on the decline, and you will never hear this song on the radio in the UK. I don't know if you hear it anywhere else.
I didn't know this song.
I think it's miles better than the original one. And I believe the Everly Brothers even gave Aha their guitar to say thank you for doing a better version. But yeah, it's blissful. And the video is directed by Steve Barron, who did Take On Me, who also did the video to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What an introduction to a song.
What more do you want? And now,
well, what more do I want? I would like to know what happened with Mandy, please. What happened? How did that end?
She broke my heart, but she did get me into indie pop. So she got me into Manson, guys. So
okay,
thank Mandy, you, Mandy, for getting me into indie and taking me away from Aha.
Shout out to Mandy, sort of. So I didn't know this song at all. So obviously I didn't know the Aha version. I didn't know the Everly Brothers version. I loved the intro. I was like, oh God, this is so atmospheric. I think the harmonies are beautiful. Is it Morton harmonizing with himself, or is there a backing singer?
I think it might be. I mean, Paul, when he did it live, does sing, but he's not as good as it is on the CD. So I got a feeling it's Morton's voice.
Morton has one of the best voices in the world, I would think. But as it continued, I started liking it a bit less and less, because it went into, it goes into Bruce Springsteen-esque territory in the bridge. And then again, at the end, there's that piano that I don't really like. So obviously I listened to this first, then I went to listen to the Everly Brothers version. And of course, now that we have Bob Stanley's books, I did go and read about the Everly Brothers. And Bob does say that he thinks they're the most underrated act of their era. So make of that what you will. I actually preferred, Fran, the original version, because
Get
it's
out of town. we should say it's written by Carole King and Howard Greenfield.
It is. Yeah, very good point. The Everly Brothers are not my kind of thing normally, but there were so many elements that I didn't like with Aha, whereas with the Everly Brothers, I was a bit more like, fine. So that's why it's not that I think it's like so much better. It's just that I think that the elements that I don't like in the a-ha song bring it down. And especially, I was so excited when I heard that beginning. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And I was so happy that you picked an a-ha song because I know you're a big fan. And then I was like, ah, this isn't quite what I was looking for. It's a bit hands in the air. I'm, as you've put your hands in the air just now. And I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you too with that guitar. I don't really think of Bruce Springsteen. I guess, yeah, that piano was kind of, that was like a 90s sound. That's fine. I mean, when they do it live, they sometimes do a duet with a female singer as well.
Oh, that'd be really interesting.
Check it out. But yeah, I just think as a cover, I never hear this. People always go on about Take On Me and blah, blah, blah. But...
Exactly. And like, they definitely, there's a criteria, they make it their own. That is undeniable. Mm. But yeah, it just depends what you like.
It's fine.
Overrated.
So what's your next pick?
So going back to overrated, I have picked Valerie, the Amy Winehouse and Mark Ronson version. So I can't remember which one I heard first, whether it was Amy Winehouse or the Zootons. And I guess it was interesting to read about the origin of it as a cover. So Mark Ronson was saying that, like, oh, fucking Amy Winehouse doesn't listen to anything after 1967. And he was trying to make version, you know, which was an album of soul covers of pop songs, but she did like Valerie, and initially Mark Ronson, who was kind of skeptical, but she came in and sang it and he was like, oh no, this is really good. I think the original is much better on this one, and I think very few people know that it's the Zootons. I think obviously Mark Ronson is a great producer, and if you like soul, you will probably like this version better, but I think it was just massively, massively, massively overplayed. And there's a charm in the original song. It has this kind of reggae-like rhythm guitar. And actually, a lot of I counted kind of three guitars and a bass playing in the original. So you have a rhythm guitar, a lead guitar, a bass guitar, and an acoustic guitar. So if you like that sound, which I do, I much preferred it. It's also much more slowed down, which makes it a bit more wistful, and it is a bit, you know, of a kind of ode to someone, and it just feels a bit more playful than Valerie. Valerie just, it's all very slick and polished. Amy Winehouse's voice, not so much, but that's what you like about it. But I think the original is much, much better. And I was surprised to see that I went for drinks with three of my friends, one of them being Richard, previously guesting on this podcast. And I brought up the fact that I was discussing this, and everyone around the table unanimously agreed that the Zootons version was better. And I was like, yes, finally, we agree on something. But yeah, what do you think of Amy Winehouse's Valerie?
I think it was like pretty decent hit. It wasn't like unknown. So I think it was maybe like a top 10 hit, maybe. But like, I think this was their second album. And I think they had this as a hit, and then they kind of like bombed away. But yeah, I prefer the Zootons. And I'm not even a Zootons fan. I mean, but the reason I don't like Amy Winehouse version is because I don't like the horns after she says Valerie. The do-do-do-do-do-do, that annoys me. And the original version, after he says Valerie, it's got a great guitar part. So I think chorus-wise, the Zootons fucking take it. Like, verse-wise, yeah, I mean, I like Amy's. I like the Motown bass guitar sound, you know, the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. But yeah, the chorus for Amy Winehouse is annoying, so definitely prefer the Zootons. And what also pisses me off is, like, back to the X Factor, when every fucker would cover this song, they say, yeah, I'm going to be singing Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
And how pissed off would the Zootons get to be going, what? We had a fucking, like, top 20 or top 10 hit, obviously, bastards.
So yeah, it peaks at number 9.
Yeah, it's a top 10 hit. It's not that obscure. So, yeah, it kind of annoyed me. So, yeah, I agree again.
Good, we're
poor
agreeing.
Zootons, the poor Zootons.
Yeah, and I would say I think an underrated song from that era is Why Won't You Give Me Your Love by the Zootons. Mm-hmm. I really love that song. And I'm not, like, the world's biggest Zootons fan either. But I just love, I love his gravelly voice, the delivery. And I will say, a lot of songs that I haven't listened to in a while, now that I have Tidal and it's a much better sound quality, I didn't realise that in the Zootons there is some brass. There is some brass in the background. I much prefer that subtle level of brass than the all-out on the Mark Ronson version.
Okay, so my next overrated pick is a band called No Doubt with another 80s cover. We've got so many 80s covers with It's My Life, originally by Talk, one of my favourite bands of all time. Why do I not like the song? Because I adore Talk, and this was a lazy cover because they had a great hit coming out and Gren was busy doing a solo album, so he had no time to write a single, so it's just a cover. And the other choices were going to be either this, In Excess Don't Change, another one of my famous song, my favorite songs, or Question of Lust by Depeche Mode. And I wish they did Question of Lust because that's a song that not many people know, and I think they could have done their own version for it. But yeah, they have not given anything to It's Been Like a Talk Talk, because I think Mark Hollis is one of the best vocalists of all time. And then the best, yeah, it's got a great bass line, but it sort of lacks, I don't know, there's some sort of mystique and majesty about Talk Talk. And yeah, this is fine, but what hurts this version is at the end she does like a weird backing vocal where it sounds like she's drunk some sort of cocktail and she's like, "Ooh." I can't, you know what I mean, like she sings like weirdest weird version of herself going, "It's my life." And yeah, and it drives me insane. But yeah, I mean, it's not the worst song ever, but the fact that, again, people who are younger than me thought this was a No Doubt song. And, you know, to this day, have they ever found out that it's Talk Talk? Who knows? Because I don't hear Talk Talk on the radio. I think if you're like a proper, like a muso, then obviously you know Talk Talk. But I don't think that many people who are just, you know, semi-music fans are aware of It's My Life by Talk Talk who are under 40. Who knows?
See, I'm surprised because obviously I think you put your playlist in a random order, whereas I think, yeah, I put mine 5 overrated, 5 underrated. So I actually thought you might have thought this was a good cover version, because I think this is a good cover version. Although I feel like a lot of your frustration comes with the fact, which I can understand, that more people know this version than the original. I really like the production in this song because I think they've taken a weird pop song and made it a bit more commercial, but not in, I don't mind the way that they've done it. Like, the synths are great, the bass sounds great, and I think her voice sounds good, and it is very different to Mark's. I really love Mark's voice, and I really love the original version. But what I quite like about the No Doubt version that is removed from the Talk version is that they remove that. And I find that a bit annoying. It's like the one bad part of the song. I want the do 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 the bass. I want the bass and the singing in the chorus, but that in the verse is a bit annoying. That's removed, and for me, the production sounds better. So for me, I'm like, well, you're introducing the song to a whole new generation, and that's not a bad thing because it might not have been known otherwise. Which is certainly contradicting myself in what I said for the Tears for Fears, but I acknowledge that. I'm still a Talk Talk newbie, so I know It's My Life. I got obsessed with Such a Shame, really obsessed with that song when I discovered it. But yeah, I don't think this is too bad.
That's the end of part one.
It's an S-Pod thing, the podcast revisiting S-Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this, anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests help me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems with this show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Underrated.
So what's your next pick, please?
So my underrated pick is Drag Me Down by Weaves, the original being One Direction. So the One Direction song is one of two One Direction songs I know, the other one being What Makes You Beautiful. And I think I saw the One Direction song on VH1 or something like that, and one of the few times that I stayed in a hotel and it had a music TV channel. And I thought, oh, for a pop song, this isn't bad. So I knew the original before listening to the cover version. And I think this is a brilliant example of a rock cover of a pop song. You know, Wargasm, previously mentioned, they've done an amazing version of Something Kind of Ooh by Girls Aloud. Caveat, check it out. Weaves, at the beginning, they make it minimal, funky, sludgy. And I imagine that Jasmine, the lead singer's vocals, might sound grating to some, but I quite like them, especially because she harmonizes with herself, even sometimes quite atonally. But whether she's singing by herself or, you know, with all the layers, I really like it. there's like a ridiculous amount of instruments and sounds on this track. It breaks it down at the end in a very Talking Heads style way. Really great percussion and bass. And you can absolutely hear that it's Drag Me Down by One Direction. They haven't transformed it completely, but they've thrown everything in the kitchen sink at it. And I think it's a really great version.
When I first heard this, like, I couldn't remember the original. Oh, I knew the song. And I was like, fuck, who is
Where
this?
Where do I know
I
it from?
I had to Google it. I'm like, well, yeah, fucking... So it's One Direction, and I'm a bit of a One Direction fan. Obviously not that much because I can't remember the song. But yeah, do you know the Moldy Peaches?
That's exactly who I thought of as well, Kimmy Dawson.
So it's a bit Moldy Peaches. I'm not the greatest fan of her vocal, although I did think the outro was very good. I enjoy the outro to this track a lot. So the outro is better than One Direction, but unfortunately, I'm going to go for the OD OG.
I'm sugar, as the kids say. Because, but I will tell you, like, I do like the original. I think the original has a really good bass line and this kind of reggae guitar. But what I think it's really missing is harmonies. The harmonies in the One Direction song come towards the end. But for most of it, it's just them singing one line. And what I really like in the Weaves version is that it's not like that at all. But, you know, each to their own.
But in the video for One Direction, they're in the space station with robots. So,
automatic win.
Are we doing that?
I will also say that Weaves do a really good version of Power Out by Arcade Fire. Oh. And I would recommend one of the songs that I got absolutely obsessed with, Take a Dip, is one of my favorites. And yeah, just to say, they're a Canadian band. They're based in Toronto. I think they've either broken up or the lead singer Jasmine has left. And I didn't realize this until I was researching it. And I went to listen to one of her songs, Find the Light, and I really enjoyed it. So if you liked this cover, I really recommend checking out more Weaves and more Jasmine. Jasmine with a Y.
Okay, so we're going down to the underrated world. And as Babs mentioned earlier, I think it does affect you if what version you heard first. So I have Tori Amos, Strange Little Girl from 2001. And believe it or not, I heard this version before I heard the Stranglers version.
No, fair enough.
Because I don't think that they ever played that on the radio. Stranglers basically had like, what, three or four songs you always hear, like Peaches, Golden Brown, and Always the Sun. And, you know, this.
Yeah.
One, yeah.
And also, this was like a single, again, recorded for a greatest hits for the collection rather than on an album.
So, yeah. And so I think Tori Amos, she covered all male singers and she did different interpretations for each one. And but I just heard this, I think it must be the MTV as a single, and I thought, oh, I quite like the Tori Amos single, and then found out it was the cover song. And listening to the original, I think, like, a bit like the Zootons, I think the verses, I'm happy with both of them, but I prefer how Tori Amos sings the chorus to Strange Little Girls, because she climbs rather than Hugh Cornwall. It's a bit more like, Strange Little Girls, how are you doing? Strange Little Girls, how are you doing? But Tori would like, she keeps climbing and gives it a bit more. So obviously it hasn't got the keyboard playing from Stranglers, but I do enjoy the guitar. I like the production on it. I'm not a Tori Amos fan at all, really. But yeah, it turns out this was a single only in Germany. So God knows how I saw it on MTV in the UK. So yeah, again, for me, looking at the YouTube comments, she gets a lot of hate for the song.
Really? Oh, is it arsehole toxic? This is, again, check out our Stranglers episode where I talk about how much I hate the fact I love the Stranglers.
Yeah, I mean, no one's mentioning her. No, of course, she's a woman, but everyone's going, oh, it hasn't got the keyboards. Here's the keyboard.
Dave Greenfield, Stranglers. Yeah.
Yeah, they keep saying, oh, without Greenfield, it's nothing. But yeah, it's fair and it's fine. So yeah, so I've not heard the song since I heard it back in the day. So I think it's maybe underrated.
So I did know the Stranglers original. It's not one of my favourites of theirs. I think it's fine. But I hadn't heard Tori Amos' version. And what I think it does is absolutely... she makes it her own, and it is pure that era of music. I think it's 2001, the album. She even named her album, as Fran mentioned, of all the cover versions, Strange Little Girls. So, you know, clearly she was a fan of this song. In Tori's version, I really like the harmonies and how they sit alongside the guitar and drums and percussion, especially. But unfortunately, Fran, I will say that I do prefer the Stranglers version because of Dave's keyboard.
Even the chorus, though, because the chorus isn't as many keyboards in the chorus, is there?
I'd have to think about it.
But I love Tori going, the rapture. That bit was quite beautiful.
I do like how... I think you're correct that Hugh Cornwell is one tone, whereas she gives it more variety. But again, it really is just the kind of, yeah, the keyboards that make it for me, because there's a, yeah, there's a flavor, a charm that isn't in the Tori Amos version. But again, maybe, you know, it's not a bad song. I didn't mind it, but like you, I'm not a particularly big Tori Amos fan. The only songs of hers that I really listen to are the Armin Van Halen Professional Widow and Caught a Light Sneeze, which I had forgotten about. I went to look at what songs I'd saved. That's a really good song. Would recommend it. But I will say that I enjoyed checking out this album. I'd saved Enjoy the Silence by her.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's the most interesting, I thought, was the Slayer cover version. So she does Raining Blood, which, as you can imagine, is very, like, she does it in a very quiet, acoustic, atmospheric way.
Overrated.
What's your next pick?
My next pick is Hounds of Love by the Futureheads. So I heard this version before I heard the original Kate version. It was ages. I think this song is really, really good. The harmonies at the beginning, they sound much more like, their dogs sound much more like dogs than Kate Bush's dogs, because they go, oh, 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 whereas Kate Bush is going, oh, 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 oh. Not the same. They do better dogs. I love how it starts that sparsely, but then the triumphant guitars come in and the percussion that they have as well towards the end, and the extra drums to match those also kind of tribal drums in the Kate Bush version. I much prefer their melody line of take your shoes off and I will throw them in the lake. Much prefer it to the take your shoes off and I will throw them in the lake, which, yeah, not such a fan of. And the fact that they don't hide their Sunderland accents at all. Now, when I did eventually hear the Kate Bush version, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't bad. It's got a cello, which is definitely what's mm-hmm. missing from the Futureheads version. But I do much, much prefer Hounds of Love by the Futureheads. And I listened to the album it came from for the first time in ages. It's a pretty damn solid album, in my opinion. What is your opinion?
No, the debut album's decent. I unfortunately saw them on the second album, which is bollocks.
Yeah, see, I haven't gone beyond at all. And yeah, I'm like, maybe I should, but maybe not.
So yeah, before everyone was covering Running Up the Hill, we have Hounds of Love, which is maybe what Kate Bush's last proper pop song, probably.
Oh, I don't know enough about Kate Bush to make any claims.
But yeah, so people, it's obviously back in 2004, it might come out in 2005, this is the actual single.
2004, I've got, yeah.
There's a lot of debate. What's better, this or, and I think they're both exactly the same. So this is like, this is the indie floor filler with the oh, and the finger bleeding strumming instead of the cello. But yeah, they both make my heart pump. Kate Bush has got like a majestic voice, and it's a classic video, it's a classic song. So yeah.
Did you listen to the Kate Bush version first?
Yeah, I was a fan of, I think I had the greatest hits when I was like, in my late teens, so yeah, I wasn't angry when the Futureheads came out to cover the glorious Kate Bush, and yeah, I'm happy to hear either version. Whether I'm running around to my indie filler songs, or if I'm, you know, just in my kitchen trolling around like Kate Bush, I'm happy both ways, guys.
Both ways. I will also say that you should absolutely check out the Futureheads version of A Cappella by Khalees, which is purely a cappella, and it is incredible, and it is on Tidal.
Yeah, I think they did a whole album, like, didn't they?
I mean, I was like, were they a kind of barbershop quartet before becoming musicians? And I read something about, so two of them are brothers, which I didn't realize. So the lead singer and the drummer are brothers. And I think the drummer got bought a guitar, the lead singer then just stole. Which is like, that's harsh, but hey, it worked out in the end. But yeah, it was really, I really enjoyed rediscovering the song, because I will say it was quite overplayed at the time, so I would understand if some people felt like that. What I would also say, and I would be interested to hear your take on this, Fran, after you listen to it, this album came out in 2004, which was the year before Silent Alarm by Bloc Party. I think they have the Silent Alarm guitar sound a year before Bloc Party. Especially if you go and listen to Le Garage, the guitars that start at the beginning sound exactly like the guitars from So Here We Are. And I would have never made that connection in the first place, but did Bloc Party steal from them?
Well, I mean, people say that they both stole from The Wire and Gang of Four.
Yes,
so.
of course.
That's what people would say.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. True.
But yeah, I guess Bloc Party may be a little bit more Cure on their first album with some of the parts. But yeah, I'm a fan of, like, yeah, is A to B and
Le Garage. Decent Days and Nights.
Decent Days and Nights, a classic track. Yeah, I was a fan. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to my next track, When We Collide from 2010. Or, to everyone else who's a fan of the song, Many of Horror. So, yeah, so speaking of One Direction, this was the year where they came third to Mac Hardwell, everyone's favourite busker. Famously, yeah, Harry Styles said, you're going to get loads of pussy, or I can't remember what the actual official phrase was. So for his winning song, he covered Biffy Clyro, and controversially, this was a Biffy Clyro song that had already been released that same year, which takes some fucking balls. He renamed it to When We Collide to be more X Factor, because, you know, you can't have the word horror in an X Factor song. Imagine. But yeah, so again, I was like confused because I wasn't the biggest fan of X Factor, but I watched the final. And when he sang this and called it When We Collide, I then thought, this is Biffy Clyro. Don't people know this is Biffy Clyro?
And
it seemed like no. I guess Biffy Clyro were on the rise. They weren't maybe as big as they were now, but they're kind of a little bit popular. So I thought, you've got some fucking balls to be covering a song which had already been released in the charts. And what happened was is that the Biffy Clyro fan did an internet campaign to try and get Many of Horror to become Christmas number one instead of this. It got to number eight. It got to number eight, which is isn't bad. But what is interesting is that, like, afterwards, Simon from Biffy Clyro said that he doesn't like Mac Hardwell's version, and he regrets giving him permission to do it.
Oh, so he did give him permission. Okay,
he regrets it because he thinks he's completely. He said he prefers his own version, and, you know, he says Mac Hardwell can't sing his song, and he regrets giving it to him, and also he also said he never knew that there'd be a key change added to it. He would have refused a key change. So yeah, I mean, this isn't my favorite Biffy Clyro song, but it's again, I'm annoyed that there's a generation who think this is Mac Hardwell and are unaware of the Biffy Clyro original. And yeah, I prefer the Biffy Clyro version because I'm a fan of rock music more than Mac Hardwell. But also, what also was annoying is that Mac Hardwell was kind of like, because he played guitar, it's like, as if he's like an edgy pop star. But and also
the young blood of his day.
Yeah, and I'm going to Biffy Clyro, a rock band. But obviously, he then stripped it away of any of the rock part, and it just became another fucking X Factor ballad. So yeah, for me, overrated. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts. When I saw that you picked Mac Hardwell, I was like, yeah, I don't know the song again. In 2011, I was in Luxembourg, so I wasn't in the UK and caught up in the X Factor madness. And so, yeah, I listened to the Mac Hardwell version first, and I was like, hang on, this does sound very familiar. Oh, I do know this Biffy Clyro song, and I don't like this Biffy Clyro song. Okay, so let's see what he's done with it. So I do think he has a great voice, and I don't think it's too bad until the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I'm like, oh yeah, it's not. And then there's, you know, the second time around the chorus comes, there's some strings that I'm like, hey, yeah, you're trying to make this sound epic in a very cynical way. And then the fucking key change and the bells come in, and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, it is the John Lewis whatever tick boxy kind of version of it. Because yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the original. I don't like how the strings are used, nor the mix of acoustic or electric guitars. Didn't even finish listening to the Biffy Clyro song, but I don't think this adds anything to it. What it does add, maybe a bit like the Aha song, I'm like, what it adds, I do not like. So I couldn't possibly say that it's better than the original.
Underrated.
Okay, so on to your next song.
Right, Wax and Wayne by Deftones. Now, I've picked this song. I could have picked any one of their covers. I could have picked The Chauffeur. I could have picked No Ordinary Love. I could have picked Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want, because this is the other band that covered them. But I've picked Wax and Wayne because the audacity of covering a song with one of the most iconic and beautiful female vocalists and putting Chino Moreno there, but it's sounding really good, is an amazing achievement. I think all of Deftones' covers, they are in a universe on their own. It's like they've created a genre that all of these covers sit in. And for me, the highlight of this cover is the drums, because it doesn't sound a million miles away, you know, the bass and the guitar, but the drums are incredible. It adds a layer to the song that you wouldn't have even thought about it being there. And I think Chino's voice works quite well. He's got range, and there's enough, you know, falsetto and overdubs to make it, I think, a really good cover version. What do you think?
I had to double check to see who's singing, because like I don't think I've ever heard Sheena sing like that before, because like he almost sounds like he's doing a Robert Smith impression.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think that most of the songs I like by Deftones are covers.
Yeah. I mean, they're really good.
Yeah, like they covered Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, and obviously, you know, big fan of my music. Yeah, I adore the guitar sound. I'll put down fantastic percussion performance. They create their own unsettling atmosphere. I prefer it to the original. The original has that Martin Hannett sort of like joy rhythm sound. It's a bit too sparse for me. This gives it extra layers. I think this is definitely better than the Cocteau Twins version. So yeah, go Deftones. Keep doing covers.
I don't know. Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought about which one I prefer. I would put them on an equal footing, I think, just because okay. I love Elizabeth Fraser's voice so much. She's incredible. But when you hear the Deftones version and then you listen to the drum machine in the Cocteau Twins version, like, oh my God, that is so much more boring. And yeah, I think this is one of those examples actually of a cover that isn't a million miles away from it, but it still does create something different with just a few tweaks. So yeah.
Maybe if you listen to the Cocteau Twins do it live, they might have an updated drum machine
or a drummer. Yeah, maybe so.
I've just done Overrated, so I will discover an underrated song for you. I don't know how to pronounce this. Maybe you do. Is it Marshall?
I would say Marshall, yeah.
Marshall. Okay, so I am choosing Marshall featuring James New covering a Depeche Mode B-side called Now This Is Fun from 1982. So they are a Greek duo who do a lot of covers. They've even covered the entirety of A Broken Frame, which I think is decent because that's my least favourite Depeche Mode album. I think if you are going to cover an album, do the worst one. Don't do Violator. Do the failure.
So passé.
So because it's like films, like don't fucking remake a film that did well. Do a film that had a good idea but failed, because that's more interesting, isn't it? You give it another lease of life. So they have covered Now This Is Fun. This is the B-side to See You. I think this is a better song than See You, to be fair. And they have, I don't know how, why, or I can't find anything about it. So James New is the lead singer from the landfill indie Mumra.
Heard of, could not name a single song.
So, no idea how everything linked up with him.
Right.
This is like Mike's, I think it's just from 2015, so a long time after Mumra. Yeah, the original is a fun, jolly track by Depeche Mode with awkward melodies and not the best Dave Gahan vocal. And I think James New has a better vocal line than Dave back in 1982.
Whoa, big words.
I think they've given it a more mature production. I enjoy it when Marshall come in at the end to give it some extra protest vocals. And yeah, I've just listened to it again and again and again. I thought, yeah, fuck it. I think I will let the people know about Marshall, because I think they've done some great work covering some 80s classics. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big Depeche Mode fan, so it's quite a surprise, I guess, me telling people that I prefer a cover to their own original version. What are your thoughts?
So this is one where my opinion completely changed after listening to the original. So I listened to the Marshall version and I was like, okay, is this like Churches meets Depeche Mode? Is what I felt. I thought it was, yeah. So I initially thought this is okay, lush synths with the dance bite. I thought it was fine until this is the real fun bit towards the end, especially when the female vocalist comes in as well. And I was like, oh no, hang on, I shouldn't write this off completely. I will come back to this. And because with Depeche Mode, with a lot of their songs, I know them, but I can't always associate them with a particular album, just because normally I listen to Depeche Mode an album at a time, and you know, I'm listening to it, I'm not paying attention to track listings. It's that kind of band. So I was like, okay, do I know this song? Like, it doesn't sound that familiar. And then when I listened to the original, I was like, oh, it's this mad little one. And I really like Now This Is Fun, because I quite like the computer game like synth and the speed and the strings that come in every now and again, and the interplay between Dave and Martin's vocals. So I listened to the original and I was like, yeah, no, I think I prefer this. But then I listened to Marshall again and I was like, actually, like, for a cover, this is really good. So I think if it's just a song that I heard out of nowhere, I think I would have thought it's fine, really good ending, nice synths. But listening to it just after listening to the original really elevated it in my book.
Yeah, I like Hands of Love, you know, there's room for both, but it's just an interesting version. And
interesting,
you know,
interpretation.
And like, is that the first time someone's covered it? No, it won't be because of fucking the Smiths. But apart from Please, Please, Please for the B-side, This may be one of the only other B-sides I know someone's covered, because quite a
B-side. That would be, I feel like this is a very Gig Pigs kind of question. If people know covers of B-sides, I'm sure there's covers of B-sides, because there are B-sides that became bigger than the originals, but yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Overrated.
So my final overrated pick is Heartbeats by, I'm going to say it the Spanish way, Jose Gonzalez, even though he's Argentinian-Swedish. So this song was played to death. And for the longest time, I thought this was the original. Then I started getting into The Knife, heard their version. I was like, oh, that's funny. They've done a version of the Jose Gonzalez. And I was like, oh, no, hang on. This is the original. And this is so much better than the original. I love in the original her vocals. The synths are so lush. But like the percussion is also amazing. I don't know if it's a steel drum or something. So the original has like all the elements that make it great.
Mm.
The cover version was in a million and one adverts. It has one very repetitive guitar line, which you don't feel like that at all in the original, because the original, you know, the percussion comes in and out and other synths come along. He does have a very nice voice, and it is absolutely like the brief of he's really made it his own. But I think this one, it just strips too much away from what makes the original great and was played to death.
So yeah, as a Swedophile, I knew the original version back in the early noughties, and then I knew this version in 2003. And I think it didn't come out until the Sony TV ad, maybe a couple years later.
With the balloons?
Yeah, and yeah. And that became like the thing. So this, I like both versions, because like The Knife was like the daytime version, and this Jose Gonzalez was the nighttime version for when you're on MSN. Do you know what I mean?
BRB.
You had your nighttime playlist on Winamp. So I think this is fine. And what I do think is a bit sad is that I think Jose Gonzalez has a song called Crosses, which is a really good song. And I don't think anyone can name his original tracks, because that's I think that's a bit of a shame, because I think this has completely overshadowed it, all his actual music. He's kind of like the Argentinian Cat Stevens, isn't he, really? But so like Future Heads, I can deal with both depending on what
you're not hungry. Okay just me there.
And I'm not angry about it. I'm sure The Knife are happy, because it's different enough for me to enjoy both, you know. I am a fan of The Knife as well. I should probably listen to some more Knife.
Feel like that. Silent Shout is the only album that I've heard in its entirety. Maybe we should do them on a future episode. But what's your next pick?
I will go to Overrated. And I'm going to say The All Saints, Under the Bridge, 1998. Again, why cover a song that was like a number one hit across the world like only 5 or 6 years beforehand? I don't think many people had forgotten the song. So yeah, it's called Under the Bridge. And they've managed to delete that section of the song where he goes under the bridge downtown, I guess because he's referencing taking heroin, and maybe they thought, let's not sing about that. So the favourite part of the song has been deleted. So therefore, we're left with a very, very 90s sound. I guess, is it semi-R&B production, maybe?
I've put R&B slash trip-hop.
Is it a sample guitar line? They're just repeating? I don't know, just new or not. And then, yeah, it's a bit too downbeat for me. Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, oh dear. And then it became like a big hit, and everyone seemed to fucking love it, and everyone's going, yay, I love this version more than the other one. But I think people forget this is also a double A-side with Lady Marmalade, and I prefer All Saints version of Lady Marmalade. And then they got fucked over because Moulin Rouge came out, and then everyone only remembers the Moulin Rouge version of Lady Marmalade, and no one cares about the All Saints version. So yeah, I still think I prefer the Chili Peppers version, mainly because the best part of it is the end, and they've skipped the ending of the song, unfortunately. What are your thoughts?
Unearthed a memory for me. I think I texted MTV when they were playing the Moulin Rouge version of Lady Marmalade. They, you know, one of those TV shows that you could text in, and they'd show your text being like, I like both versions equally. And I remember coming up on the screen, and I was very proud, because I think that was maybe one of the few times that I did. So, wow, thank you for helping me unearth that, Fran, texting into MTV. I think we talked about this briefly on the Red Hot Chili Peppers episode that we did, and you and Matthew were very shocked, because I like the All Saints version quite a lot, but I did hear the All Saints version first because I was 10 years old. I like both. This is one where I like both. I think both can exist, and I don't have a problem, because you're right that they remove that element. But I I really like that, the sound that's created. I like in both songs that you can feel like it's talking about a city. Actually, maybe in the All Saints one even more. It just, you know, it has these sounds. It feels like, I don't know, cars swooshing by, or I don't know, they're singing from a high rise or something. I don't know. I don't know how or why. And what I think it does add is the harmonies at the end, that I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. And you're taking a song that has quite an epic other harmony in that section, transforming it completely, and I think it still works. So I'm happy to have the Saints and the Peppers in one team playing football. Who knows? It wouldn't be football. It'd be baseball or something like that. So yeah, I like both.
Yeah, I never hear Lady Marmalade, but All Saints, unfortunately. Lost in time. Lost into the 90s.
Underrated.
To leave our most controversial pick to the end, do you want to go for the next one?
Yeah, so a bit like your track earlier with the, is it Emenika?
Emenika,
yeah, you weren't really aware of the other work. So I, at one point, dabbled with Amazon Music, sorry to all of the anti-Bezos fans out there. And every Friday, you know, like Spotify or other ones, they give you like, hey, try these new songs. And so I popped on. And then like this cover of Whole Lot of the Moon came on by this band called Moss of Wild. Never heard of them. And then I thought, okay, I'm a big fan of the Waterboys, Hold On to Me. I think it's a classic. So you know, you got to have some balls to cover that song, especially from an indie band I never heard of. Mm. And but actually, this is actually quite good. So basically, they're taking away the raw edges of like the Waterboys song to paint it with like Simpsons and I guess indie band guitar lines. But he's got a really decent vocal line. And what is interesting is that when it hits the bridge unexpectedly, it then morphs into the Who's Baba O'Reilly, and then goes back to the outro with like from the Water Boys, when it's like, you and a hole in the moon, you came like a comet. That section was, it hits you hard. I put it on again, and then after like four times, I thought, actually, I'm really enjoying this cover from this random band. And then I realised that my account was going to run out in 2 days' time. Yeah, so I then had to pirate this onto the internet so that I could hear it post Amazon Prime ending. And yeah, I listened to some of the songs today, and they're perfectly fine in the band, but they've got like less than 4,000 Instagram fans. They're kind of small, unfortunately. And I think it's a weighted cover, because you can only listen to it if you follow me on social media and I give you a link, or if you have Amazon Prime and you randomly decide to listen to a couple of Waterboys. What are your thoughts?
So yeah, of the original, I think it's a fine song, but a bit overplayed, to be honest. Again, I feel like it's one that dads get emotional at, is the feeling that I get. I had a very long conversation with my uncle about the Waterboys, because I think they were playing in Lisbon, and my uncle is not a musical person. It's just, yeah, very surprised that he had opinions about them. So before I listened to the Moss of Wild cover, I read their band description on Tidal, and it said, an English indie combo with a thoughtful pop-driven sound that has in comparisons to acts like The National and The Maccabees. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't think I'm going to like this. But
I don't sound like The Maccabees at all.
Okay. This is what Tidal says. This is what Tidal says. But I thought this cover was extremely impressive. I love the synths and his voice. Mm. I really like, so this is an example of dimming something that makes the original and doing it so that da-da-da-da-da is completely removed from the song, which is ballsy, because that is the main hook.
Mm.
But by removing that, yeah, they you concentrate on different elements. The way that it builds to the whole of the moon is very moving, I thought. And it ends in this kind of weird way, which I was like, oh, actually, I wish there was a bit more of that. So it was a cover that I thought was very intriguing and left me wanting more. But I did think, like, maybe I need to listen to it a bit more. Would I have been as impressed with the song had it not been a cover? I don't know. I think I need a few more listens.
So you think that you're happy that they went into the Who unexpectedly? It works.
Always. Well, not always. Sometimes. And yeah, when I listened to it after the second time, I was like, do I even maybe prefer this to the original? I don't know. But if I don't, then it's on a par, I would say, with the original, which is impressive for such a kind of well-known particular song as The Whole of the Moon.
So move on to your
controversy.
I think my Wi-Fi has just ended, unfortunately.
So my final pick is technically classified as a remix. So it is, when you look it up, it's Gravity's Rainbow brackets Vanshee remix by the Claxons. Now, I would like to start a conversation of what is a remix and what is a cover version, because the reason I picked this as one of my favorite covers is because, like, to me, it is one of my favorite covers, but it is so unrecognizable from the original that I knew the original and I did not realize 4 years that this was a cover version of Gravity's Rainbow. Years, I didn't realize, because I think I listened to that Kitsune Maison 3 compilation random, which has some great tracks on it. You know, it was probably just one of those things where, like, I downloaded it. I hadn't made the connection, like Gravity's Rainbow. Oh, I like the Claxons song, but like, I honestly didn't make the connection. So for me, for something to sound so, I think every single song that we've talked about today, maybe Snake River Conspiracy, the exception, it is very recognizable to the original, different layers. This is so, so different. But yeah, Fran was like, oh, but it's a remix. And like, you know, surely, you know, we can do a remix episode. But I put this forward because I think it's unfair to Vanshee that it's a remix rather than a cover version. And yeah, I wanted just to bring up the discussion of, you know, what is a remix and what is a cover version. But yeah, just to talk about the song, I absolutely adore both versions. So I love the original Claxon song. All the instruments, even the tambourine, are great, and it's quite short at 2:37, so it's one of those again that for me I will want to listen to it again and again. But the Vanshee version sounds to me like Daft Punk on turbo speed and distortion. It mixes the synths and the drum machines with guitars that sound like motorbikes, I've written, which I thought was ace. And again, like with the Amika version, they only pick one vocal element of it, and I do wonder if it is just the Claxons vocals process, because it could be someone else singing, but I can't tell because it just sounds so, so different. And while on the Claxons version you can hear them harmonizing, on this version it's kind of one melody line. And yeah, I was looking into it, and there's this Fact magazine article called What the Hell Was Bloghouse, because that is the genre apparently that this falls in. Stuff like Pop the Glock by Uffy and things like that are in there as well, and the gossip. And they said, like, oh, it's basically Alan Brax and Fred Falk's Filterhouse classic Most Wanted with a neon fuel injection. And I was like, I've never heard of this song. Went to listen to it. It was good, but this is much better. Much, much better. So I disagree with that assessment. I think I'm so glad both of these songs exist, but I maintain this is not a remix. This is a cover version. What do you think, Fran?
So have you heard any other band covering this, not covering, remixing Gravity Rainbows?
No, I think there are remixes that exist, but I haven't gone to listen to them because I don't need to, because this is so good.
Because it was an era, wasn't it, when if you've got a single, you'd have like two or three like other DJs, usually Soul Wax, doing a remix, yeah. Or the Chemical Brothers.
I think Soul Wax might have done a Claxons remix. Well, can I just read you quickly a quote from that same article, which said, for about 10 months around 2006 and 2007, you were nobody unless you'd remixed the Claxons.
I'm not a big fan of the original version.
Interesting.
I like a couple of Claxons, but I did think they were overrated at the time. I thought, yeah, new wave it, but it's just indie. So yeah, so what is a cover? So I thought of this for a little bit, and I think that a remix is that they've been passed over the original lump of clay used to make
the stems,
song.
Right?
Yeah, so yeah, they've got the same lump of clay and they're just molding it into their own thing. A cover is a brand new piece of clay. I think I'd be interested to know what from the master tapes has been reused in the song, because obviously they've fucked around with it massively. So it'd be interesting to know what have they actually used from the original Claxon song in the first place. But yeah, I mean, I put down, yeah, it's very much the noughties French electro. It's that like sexy, sick bass and drums. I enjoy the electro mashup, and yeah, I would say this is better than the Claxon version.
I was going to ask you, yeah, interesting. It's quite a long song as well.
But yeah, but so I thought, like, regarding, so do you know Goldfrapp remix Halo by Depeche Mode?
Oh, yeah, I might have heard that because it might have been in a Facebook group that I'm in.
So in that, Alison, I got my surname.
Oh, me too.
Yep.
Alison from Goldfrapp.
Yep, she sings a different line in the chorus of Halo. So she's added her own actual vocals. This is quite rare to do in a remix. You don't tend to remix by adding your own personal stamp on it. So that, I guess, would sit across both, really, because it's maybe Goldfrapp covering it, but they basically got the master tapes. So yeah, so that I thought that would be an interesting thing. Can you have a cover and a remix at the same time?
Well, if we do a remixes version, you should bring that one in.
So yes, I would say, yeah, for a cover song, I think that they have to do it, original material pass on. But yeah, I would say this is better than the Claxons, and I can't think of any remixes with stuff from the last 15 years. So is that me bad? Or is that because we don't have CD singles anymore with B-sides?
I don't think it's just that. I think it's because we don't... I'm speaking for myself. I don't listen to bands as obsessively as I used to. Or it's much rarer for me to do so. So if I was into a band, like, I would be like, I'm so into this band now, I'm going to check out all their B-sides and their remixes and everything like that and kind of give patience to it. But I think increasingly, yeah, I just don't have the patience to do that. But I think, like, did the Kills have a few remixes
maybe
put out recently? Like, that's it. Whereas I think the Barbara of 2008 would have been like, oh, the Kills have some new remixes, check it out. Now I'm like, I'll go and listen to the album. But unless the album is spectacular, I'm not going to go down that road.
So yeah, I guess there's two things that happen. So what? Well, yeah, one, there's the death of the single, and also two, the death of the indie disco. Because, you know, I think there was a time when you could play like an indie song with a dance remix, and that's a big thing. And I don't think, well, definitely in the UK, I don't think that would be in demand anymore as much as it used to be. So the old remix, the indie song, has now faded away because indie music's now not in the charts.
Do you know what I think is that this has just come to me? I think what has replaced the remix is speeding up and slowing down songs on TikTok. That is massive. Again, Switched on Pop. I think I've mentioned when we talked about Ray in a previous episode. Switched on Pop have a whole episode about it, which is fascinating because they unlike us, because they have the clearance or whatever, they play the music. So you hear Escapism, the normal version, sped up, slowed down, and how, like, that's it. You can now, I guess, edit music yourself to do that. I'm also thinking that, again, on TikTok and other things, mashups are still popular. So I think we discussed the Macarena Gold Digger mashup. Like, that was pretty big fairly recently. So I think that mashups are still going strong. But yeah, remixes, I think you've got a point there. Maybe not as, like B-sides, maybe just not as common these days.
What are your final thoughts, Babs?
My final thoughts beyond cover versions and remixes are that I'm about to head out to go and do karaoke. And it's the second time in a week, thanks to life. One was a birthday party. One is just, we're friends who like karaoke. Let's get together. And the whole day I've been thinking, what songs am I going to pick? So I met up with some of the friends who I'm going with earlier in the week, and we decided that if it's there, we're going to do BYOB by System of a Down, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've done Toxicity and Chop Suey before. And we normally also do In the End by Linkin Park, but I think we're going to go for Crawling this time.
Oh, and you've got your vocal cords, that one.
Vocal cords, yeah, I've got to drink some water before I head out. I also would like to do Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, which I did on a boat from Sweden to Finland, and a very, very drunk Finnish couple then made friends with me because of it. A story for another time. But yeah, I've been thinking about karaoke songs all day. I think we've touched upon it before, but Fran, what are a couple of your go-to karaoke songs?
I've done Common People in Ibiza. Not that Manny Mission.
Wait, if you said Girls and Boys, okay, but Common People, that's the funny one.
Yeah, you got to go for something which is kind of like one note. It's Pulp's kind of, I can do Pulp. And I've done Just Can't Get Enough. I've done that a few times. And then the last, maybe one of the other last times, was I was in Tenerife and I did The Look by Roxette.
Oh, good.
And the,
one.
The Russian barmaid said, oh, thank you so much. Nobody else thanked me, so...
Oh, know. Okay.
Big in Russia.
Big in Russia. Okay, good to know. My go-to, I think I mentioned it before, is All That She Wants by Ace of Base, because it's quite a satisfying one, and I just harmonise at the end. I go, so it's quite fun, and a bit show-offy, but hey, I'm a bit of a show-off, what can I say? I will finish by saying that at the last karaoke session that I did, we surprisingly finished with Like a Prayer by Madonna, and that was a really good alternative to the Hey Jude or Bohemian Rhapsody or Wonderwall, because it's a song that builds, and I thought that maybe not everyone would know it, but actually it was quite a diverse group of people, and people everyone got really involved. Yeah, it was
good, really good.
So I recommend that.
I will say one of my life regrets was being at Festival, and they had the gospel choir karaoke. When you have a full gospel choir and you sing with them, and God. I was almost going to sing The Killers, I've Got Soul, that one. What's it called? Yep, good.
I've got a soul, but I'm not a soldier.
This is how tired I can't fucking remember any singles. So yeah, because I thought that'd be fucking amazing to have. But yeah, I bought it. I chickened out.
One of my friends who's joining tonight is my friend Manon, and there is this event called Bruxelles les Bains, which translates as the baths of Brussels, where they turn a not particularly nice part of the canal into a beach. So they have these kind of stands and all this stuff. So we went there thinking like, oh, we'll get some nice food and drink. But what we didn't realize is that there was a stage where you had karaoke with a live band. Cool. And we then had this whole discussion of like, do we, don't we, blah, 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 blah. We decided to go for it. We picked Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And I kid you not, Fran, what an experience to be singing, shrieking that song with your friend, with a backing band, with a guy doing the drums. It was amazing. So more of this, please, in the world.
Yes, but as a guy in his 40s, I doubt I'll be doing any karaoke anytime soon. But big fan of SingStar, guys. Big fan of Rock Band at home. Stay at home. Don't go outside.
Go to a karaoke room if you're shy.
Yes.
That's my message. That's my message.
Until next time, goodbye from me.
Bye.
And that is the podcast. So, what is your favourite cover song? Why not get in touch with us on social media? You can get in touch on Twitter, X, at OU Music Pod, or on Blue Sky, at OU Music Pod, or in Instagram, at Over Underrated Music Pod, or you can email us at overunderratedmusicpod@gmail.com. So, thanks again for listening. Please like and subscribe. Until next time, guys. Bye-bye.